Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chat with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way, is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling. Without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Fat Femme Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC. Welcome to the first episode of the Black Fat Femme Podcast, where all the intersections of identity are celebrated. I am John, also known as Dr. John Paul. And honestly, I am super, super ecstatic with joy to be here.
Wow. I cannot believe we're doing this. This is incredible. John, you are incredible for getting this together. My name is Jordan, or Joho Dance across the socials. And I am thrilled and honored to do this with you, John.
Oh my gosh. So seriously, before we could even get started with the podcast, I just quickly want to say shout out to iHeart, Toyota, and Next Up for everything that they have done to make this happen. But really, just at the end of the day, I'm just really super excited that we are finally on the mic and this long dream of a show that I've been thinking about forever is finally here.
Okay, first of all, come on, name drops. John, could you tell us a little bit more about the initiative?
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things I've been thinking a lot about in creating this podcast is before we even really get into like what the show is about and to our segments and all of that, I really wanted to talk more about this initiative because I think it's so important. Ultimately, this initiative and how this show kind of came to be is that it really is just kind of thinking about who we are, what we stand for, what we experience on a day-to-day. I identify as a Black, Fat, Femme, non-binary person. And so we will be centering a lot of that at the core of the show. And iHeart saw the vision. They saw the idea. And they ultimately said, let's run with it. Let's do something fun with it. So I'm really excited to really just be kind of creating something that's different. I wanted to ask you before we actually like get into like the real show, like, what does it feel like for you, Jordan, to know that you are part of something that is like hella revolutionary?
Damn, that's a question. I would say I'm deeply honored, and it I'm honored, but it also feels like we're picking up the torch that people have before us have passed on to us, you know, like being the identities that we are. John, revolutions run through our blood. So it also feels fitting that we're doing this. They said the revolution won't be televised, but maybe it will be podcasted.
I heard that. Yes, maybe it will. And that's actually really, really cool. And so I really wanted to say, you know, again, before we jump into like really truly what this show is about and what this episode is about, I wanted to let people know who are listening for the first time, that this is a show that truly is a place where we get to really be ourselves. We get to be free of all the respectability politics that ultimately are kind of put on us as Black queer people. So, you know, throughout the duration of each of these episodes, not only will we have guests, but we will ultimately be able to get real about what it means to be Black fat femmes in a world that honestly, truly, one, has not been created for us, but really ultimately doesn't see us as well. This segment we are going to be doing is called Category Is. Every single episode will have a category is, and it's going to be a different conversation that we'll, again, either be having with each other or with guests. And for this week, I simply just said, hey, let's have a conversation about being Black, fat, and femme. And so, Jordan, I kind of wanted to go back, like, you know, back into time. And let's talk about how we became friends and, like, ultimately what we have learned from one another since meeting back in 2015. And yes, that, like, literally we've dated ourselves. I cannot believe we have been friends for 7 years.
Oh, my God. 7 years? That is like, I feel like I was such a different person back then. I definitely wasn't rooted in my Black fat feminist then, but I am now. It's actually it's kind of special, actually, in Jewish tradition, 7 years. Listeners, for those who don't know, I am Black and Ashkenazi Jewish, so I'm going to go rabbi real quick with y'all. But in Jewish tradition, every 7 years is called a Shemitah year, part of a 7 year cycle. Think of, like, you know, you have 6 days of working and 7th day of rest. Well, the seventh year is your year of rest or sabbatical year, and it represents a season of release and transition. There's quite a bit of, like, economic and environmental justice lenses to that, but it's fitting for us because in our 7th year of friendship, we are transitioning and transforming into a new era of co-creation together. So I'm excited to let this rest with you as it grows organically. And I just want to say, in the past 7 years that I've known you, I've learned from you true authenticity, the power of joy, and the necessity to laugh through some shit.
Baby, like, honestly, I always, people always ask me, like, even today, something happened, and I was just sitting at my computer laughing when my partner was getting ready to go to work. And they were like, why are you laughing? And I was like, baby, sometimes you just have to laugh to keep from crying. And so you will find that on this show, a lot of the stuff that we laugh about, especially, you know, with the world being the way that it looks, we really truly are trying to figure out how do we balance the, you know, the bad or the struggle with laughter and things. And so as I was thinking about, like, okay, what does this category slash what does this segment look like? I kind of poised some questions that we're going to throw back and forth at each other. And so I wanted to start off by saying that what I think, or at least what has been so instrumental for me in understanding the nuances of my identity, is really thinking about how complicated it is and ultimately how in our world, we have not really had the space to really kind of, like, I don't want to say dismantle, but what I want to say is, I think really thinking about how do we break apart these identities and then put them back together to tell a thorough story. So I'm wondering, you know, and each of us will be going kind of through these questions that I kind of have put together for us. I wanted to ask you first. So what made you want to identify as Black, fat, and femme?
Well, I've always been fat. Like, that's the first thing that I feel like growing up, it was the first thing that people would see and make fun of me for, and I would feel internalized for that. And I would say I kind of, like, developed my lens of, like, fat liberation and fat activism actually right around the time that we met in school. When I was in school, you were in school, let's be clear. when I was in school, because you were out here leading the school, bitch, so go off. And so I've always, so at that point I was like, okay, I'm rooted in my fatness. I think my queerness has always been something that I've accepted and loved, like, fully. Even when I came out at 15 and I experienced some challenges with people that I love, my sexuality, I always embraced it, and I always knew that I was a little bit femme. And at one point it was like it was like exploited, you know, because I did theater, so I was often typecasted into, like, the sassy gay sidekick role. But I've always found love for my femness. I would say my blackness really came in my time at school, because for folks who don't know, I grew up in the Bay Area.
Yay.
Yeet. And I grew up in a place that was so diverse. And so I moved to San Diego, where I live now. It was a culture shock, and I didn't know how to like step into my blackness as an adult. And then in Long Beach, right, I went to school at CSU Long Beach, Go Beach, and I discovered that like my blackness was so much part of who I am. And so I'll have to say, you know, how and why to identify this now, because I believe that declaring myself is my power. Well, I'm gonna go rabbi again real quick. I want to say I'm sorry, but I'm not, because we can all sit and learn some more Jewish wisdom. So there's this word called Hineni that the naming of it stands for like, I am here, I have arrived. And to me, Hineni is not just a naming of presence, but declaration of survival against all odds that you are here. And so when I think of why and how I stand in my black femness, I think of Hineni, like I am here to survive against all odds, and I am in my power when I say this. So that's all I gotta say about that. That's why I stand in it. How about you, boo? Let me know.
Well, one, I think the reason why I'm so big on standing in the whole black fat femme, and the reason why this podcast was kind of like at the forefront of everything that I had been doing, was because I knew that all three of these identities, and I've always said this in different like facets, right? I say I am everything that the world hates, right? I'm black fat and I'm effeminate. And so these are things that ultimately I've always been told to kind of tuck away, whether it was from the LGBTQ community telling me to tuck away my blackness, or it was the LGBTQ community or the world itself telling me to tuck away or to lose weight, to fit in or to be liked, well liked, right? And then this notion of having to perform more masculine, right, in this cis male body that I had. And so ultimately when I put this idea together and I started kind of doing all the work that I've been doing, and I've kind of brought you along to do this work with me, I was thinking to myself, like how awesome it would be to finally stand in that, right? And so I think for me the biggest thing is standing in my blackness. All of it is really a political statement, right? I really think that's really what this podcast is. As much as it's going to be fun, and we're going to have, you know, we have so many cool segments and so many different guests and things that we've been working to kind of put together, I think the coolest part of it is that we are making a really political statement and saying that we are black, fat, femme, and visible. And I think that's the thing that the world doesn't want. They don't. There are a lot of people in this world who take issue with the visibility of us being our authentic self, but also to us being proud of who we are because of how we show up, right? There's this, and I've been thinking a lot about this too, like specifically this week I've had several conversations around fatness with some of my friends, this notion that you're supposed to be shame, like there's supposed to be some sort of shame for you being, you know, a person of size, right? And even in our community too, you know, I've been watching and I've been hearing a lot of people have conversations about the sizeism issue, right? So the, you know, the fat people having issues with like what they're calling skinny fat and stuff. And it's like, bitch, I'm still fat. Like, no matter how you slice, dice, or cut it, you know, my clothes are not carried in the store. so like, no matter how you, right, like, I have to order my stuff offline too, girl. But I think, right, this notion of still being proud of who I am, even in those moments where the world is trying to make me feel like I'm less. I think that's really what this place is going to be. And so, yeah, I'm just really identifying in that way as a real statement to people to say, like, you can not only love yourself, but you can also be proud of the work you've done to get to love yourself. And that's really really what I hope this journey is for people. So I was going to ask, like, the other thing that I wanted to ask you as I was thinking about this, right, as we were putting this together, I said, why do you think so many people are scared of each of the intersections of these words?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked that, because that was coming up for me as you're talking about the fear people have or existing as what the world hates. And I think about this a lot myself too, whether it's from like a academic lens or like a social justice lens or just like a personal lens. I think that folks are scared because, I mean, to the point that you named, like, because of our explicit views on all these words, we're taught that black is dangerous or unbeautiful, that fat is unhealthy and that femme is weakness. And when we combine variations of these, I think people fear that it disempowers them. And in some ways, we've seen how it does. Like, we see how we treat right now. We see how we treat women right now. It's really present. We're seeing how we've always seen how we treat Black folks and folks who identify as femme, both within and out of the queer community. But folks don't always recognize the power in declaring yourself, like I mentioned earlier with Hanani. And so, you know, I think of, like, people used to always correct me when I said I'm fat. They would say, no, you're beautiful. I'm like, sis, I definitely am. Didn't say I wasn't beautiful, bitch. I'm fine. And right. I'm fat.
Right.
And, you know, like, it's not that bad. Like, but I think it's more of, like, the fear is more of, like, that's that colonization talking that you're experiencing, you know?
Wholeheartedly. I genuinely do believe that that's a lot of it is projection. And I think a big part of it is again, we're taught from a very young age that being fat is something you're supposed to hate. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, it is always so funny to me. And actually, I tweeted something about that earlier this week. I had said, you know, beautiful was not a size. And I think that that's the thing that a lot of people remiss is that, you know, when you say, you know, I'm fat, and they go, oh, but you're still beautiful. You're equating my size to this idea that I can't be beautiful because I'm bigger.
Sorry, can I say real quick, like, I love that because right now, right, you see with fashion lines, their tagline is always beautiful at any size. And so for you to say beautiful is not a size, period. I live.
Yeah. And again, that's one of the bigger things that I've been noticing is that there's always, even in people's good intentions around, you know, Blackness or fatness or even queerness, there's always some type of microaggression that kind of lives in it. And so even in that notion of, like, beautiful at any size, that's still a microaggression because you're basically telling me that because I'm bigger, I'm supposed to think less of myself. And ultimately that because I'm buying your clothes that I'm going to feel better about myself regardless of what size I'm at. Like, girl, if you don't get out of here. And so that's really what I think. Yeah. Like, that's a bigger part. I agree wholeheartedly is that I think a big part of this fear that people have, it's a fear that we've grown up with, but I think it's just an inherent fear that's kind of, like, beat into us, right? If you're Black, you have to show up a certain way. If you're queer, you have to tuck that away. If you're fat, lose the weight and the world will love you, you know? And I've can genuinely say I've been smaller and I actually feel more happy and more proud of myself at the size that I am now than when I was at my thinnest. But that's a whole nother conversation for a different day. It really is. So one of the other things I wanted to think about before we kind of wrap up the segment is how has your thoughts on being a Black fat femme person changed since we've met? I know. So I'll tell you real quick before you answer. I'll tell you that I can remember not necessarily the day that I met you, but I can remember the day very, very vividly that I actually saw it for you. Do you remember what day that was?
Ooh, that you saw, like, you saw it for me? Ooh, no, please.
Yeah, like, where I saw it for you.
Please.
When I was like, okay, this bitch is going to be my friend for a very long time. Y'all were doing some big, massive event. And when I was walking by, I thought it was going to be one of those situations where it was like a, you know, sometimes students see faculty or staff and they kind of just, they hide them and then they kind of keep it pushing. You was like, oh, you better get over here and take a picture with me, girl. And I just was like, oh, snap. Jordan is actually my friend. Like, it was like one of those moments where you called me in to take a picture with you. And I forget the name of old girl who used to run and do all the programs and stuff. But that was the first time that I was like, okay, Jordan actually sees it for me. And so I just wanted to share that for folks who are listening for the first time. Like, our friendship really did start at something so simple as them calling me over to take a picture with them is what led to us now being like friends 7 years out and building really a whole kind of job per se together with this podcast. But yeah, I wanted to ask you though, like, kind of going back to the question, like, how has the thoughts of who you are since we've met changed?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for that memory. That is like, that is so special to hear that that meant something to you, because I mean, I'm sure you feel this way too, but you don't always realize or recognize how what you say or when you say things impacts people. So it means so much that that meant something to you. And I will say, like, you know, when I first saw you, and I think before I even, like, talked to you, I just like, I was like, oh, this person needs to be this person. I want this person in my life because the way that they are showing themselves to the world right now, or the world isn't just us on campus, is so special and beautiful, and who I want to be. So, I mean, really, to answer your question, I think meeting you itself changed me. Just seeing you mm-hmm. be your Black fat femme self was something that, you know, it makes you think of that quote from Marianne Williamson, of what is it? Like, at the end of the quote, it's a long ass quote, but the end of the quote, she says, when you liberate yourself, you give permission for others. No, I'm butchering it, but basically seeing you help me liberate me, you know, or actually better one, I think of Toni Morrison, the function of freedom is to free others. Yeah. And so like seeing you free, or what I saw as free, helped me feel like I could be free as well. So really, I would say my thoughts on it changed since we met. And I think the way it shifted is that I think you're one of the first people, because I've shared with you before that for folks, I mean, obviously folks can't see me, they can listen, but like, she light skinned as fuck. And so you always remind me that I'm Black regardless. And as somebody who mm-hmm. feels or has felt like, am I Black enough to be in this space as a mixed person? Like, you always just said, you're Black, like so simply and so affirmatively. And so I think you gave me permission to stand in my Blackness as an adult. So I really thank mm-hmm. you for that so much. And then I would say my thoughts on it has changed in just positive ways. I think since I've also developed a stronger sense of self in my fatness and in my femness. I mean, you see me now, like, I should be wearing heels. You know, half my clothes be quote-unquote women's clothes. One, because they fit better. I don't know why men walk around these streets in these damn denims acting like that shit feels good when it does not feel good against your balls. Yeah. I mean, or anything in period. It's just scratchy. It sounds like it doesn't taste like anything. Ugh, calm down, girl. It feels like sandpaper against your body. Like, I don't want to do men's denim, but also straight men, because I don't know why gay men wear the kind of shit anyways either.
They don't make clothes for us. They really don't. None of these clothes. And we're gonna the blessing of this show is that one day we will have a full conversation about fashion in itself. Yes. But you're right, Jordan. Like, you genuinely, you know, I think the biggest thing that I really want folks to take away from this episode, right? This first episode really is kind of an ode to any individual who's listening and questioning how they show up in the world. I think a big part of me and how, you know, kind of answering the question myself, when you talk about giving someone the authentic, you know, giving them the authority to be able to stand in themselves, I think for me, I think since the time we've met, I've become a lot less apologetic about how I show up to people. And even in conversations when people are like, oh, you're loud, or you're too effeminate, or you're too this, or you're too that, I always look at it as that's mm-hmm. your problem. That has nothing to do with me. And I think that that's something that I really want to encourage people to be thinking about after, you know, hearing this in particular conversation, is that both of us are really kind of in this place of, you know, you only really get one chance to do this. You know, when I say talk about life, like mm-hmm. you only get really one chance to do this life. And if you're going to spend your entire life being concerned that, you know, you're concerned with your identity, or being so wrapped up in thinking that, you know, you're not Black enough, or, you know, your sizes can keep you from happiness, or you being feminine is not going to find you people. Like, if you have an issue with any of those identities, we don't need to be friends. That's literally what it comes down to for me now. We don't need to talk. We don't need to engage with each other. And so I think my biggest thing too is, you know, that saying, you know, they say rising tides lifts all boats. I think that's been the biggest thing for me with all the work I'm doing, is wanting to make sure that other Black queer people, regardless of how Black you are, if you're on a scale of Blackness from 1 to 10, where you're light, bright, or all the way, you know, you're dark, you know, dark as night, child. Yes. Either way, that scale of Blackness is still beautiful and it's still important, and you still have every right to stand in that. And so that's really what I really wanted to, you know, to talk to folks about in this in particular conversation. So what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to go ahead. We have to pay some more bills because, you know what? Everything is so damn high.
Especially with this heat, baby. Oh, my God. My AC is blasting all day long.
Just expensive. But we're going to come back and then we're going to get into our favorite subject, which is food. More in a second.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast. to live and die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like a million bucks.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So in this segment titled What's on Your Plate, we'll be talking about the things we love to eat and make and or places that we need to stay away from. Now, John, you know I get that out in the kitchen. You see on my Instagram. Yes. You've had before. Mm-hmm. I make a mean salmon, baby. A mean salmon. That shit will bite you back. But I know you talk a lot about dessert. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Won't she do it, though? But I know you talk a lot about dessert. So can you tell me what makes a good dessert, or if you want to be general, what makes a good meal for you?
Okay, so let's talk about this real quick. There, I don't know, on the TikToks, there are a lot of people who love to put up their recipes and, oh, I did this off of this and this and the other. And a lot of people don't use seasoning. A lot of people just don't use seasoning. And I don't understand how pepper and salt is the only seasoning you're using on your food. Like, I just don't comprehend it. Like, no, you don't have no paprika. You ain't got no cumin. You ain't got no onion salt. No seasoning. Look, I don't trust nobody who ain't got no seasoning salt in they cupboard.
You got no Lowry's in that pantry. Mm-hmm. I can't.
I'm
trust
leaving.
You.
I'm leaving, mm-hmm. and I'm not eating anything that you're cooking. So that for me is food. If you don't believe in Lowry's or allspice or any of those other things, allspice is for dessert. But I'm talking about there's another one. Like, what is it? My mom used to use it all the time, and I think it probably attributed to me having high blood pressure, child. But there's another seasoning that she used to use all the time on top of the seasoning salt. I forget what it's called. I have to come back to this. I'm just really big on seasoning. In terms of desserts, as a person who enjoys like making dessert, I truly believe that the right amount of I'm that person that believes dessert should have always a little more sugar and a little more butter than what the recipe asks for. I just, one, so it's not dry, but ultimately, two, like, I think a good pecan pie has, I mean, yeah, you're going to use caro syrup for it. Okay, that's very sweet. But, you know, you sprinkle a little sugar on top of them pecans that you drop at the top. Or you can, you know, what do you do? Like, you can I'm going to call them pan fry. You can, like, what do you call that when you cook with the pecans on the stove? What is that called?
I was going to say sear. Is it sear?
But... Girl, you know what I mean. When you like shake the pecans in the.
Oh, girl, you just toss them.
Heat them up.
The pan.
You toss them in the pan with the sugar.
Pan. Yeah.
A little bit of butter.
Getting the oils out. Getting the oils out.
Yes.
Caramelizing
yes,
it.
That's what
you're
doing.
Thank you.
So you do
it was a journey.
Yes, we got there, didn't we?
We got
And so doing that, right? Peach cobbler, I don't know. There's a lot of people who swear they can make good peach cobbler, but there are a lot of people who lie about that too. And what I will also say is that not every single fruit should be hot. There are a lot of people who believe the certain... Yeah, not every single. And what's going to be fun, I cannot wait for this segment to come back around because I want us to do a hot take on food, like some certain foods.
Ooh,
when we get into like,
yes,
the good, what I like to call the great black debate about sugar, yes, and salt on your grits and how your chicken should be fried and all that. Well, but we're going to get there one day. Okay. Yeah. But ultimately for me, a good dessert is a little more sweet and a little bit more butter. What about you? Like, what makes a good dessert to you?
Well, good. Okay, well, first of all, I just wanted to say real quick to your point about the seasonings on the TikToks, because I have to call this out, because the people that don't be putting pepper on their foods are the same people that be posting shit that's like, this is not your grandmother's oatmeal. And like, no, it's not, first of all, because she put seasoning in her oatmeal. Not her oatmeal, let me calm down, child. But she put seasoning in her grits. Like, that's why it's not that one. And they act like it's so revolutionary. Like, the amount of times I see a person make avocado toast with just toast and avocado and a sprinkle of pepper, and I'm like, girl, give me a radicchio, because right now you're being ridiculous. Like, give me radicchio, give me some everything seasoning, bitch.
Radicchio.
Give me a drip of hummus. Like, damn, give me something. So that's all I gotta say about that. Mm-hmm. I will say, dessert wise, good dessert. Okay, well, so I'll say, at the time we recorded this, I just came back from being out of the country, and one of my favorite dishes is called kanafi, which is like an Arabic an Arabic dish with phyllo dough and like a cheese, and then with like syrup and pistachios on top. Mm-hmm. That shit is bomb. That's like, that makes a good dessert. I think that's not really to your question of what makes a good dessert, but I think it makes a good dessert because it has the right amount of like sweetness and saltiness. It has the richness of a cheese with like the crunchiness and like softness of a phyllo dough pastry, which is super bomb. I love me some phyllo dough. I can wrap myself in it. I also would say, so this is, I'm very particular about if it's a cold dessert or a hot dessert. Like if it's a hot dessert, that shit better be steaming. Like, I should burn my mouth on that thing. Don't give me,
oh no,
like,
ma'am.
Don't give me a warm dessert. Like, I want, because if it's hot, I'm gonna want ice cream on top of it. I want to be like decadence just drizzling down from like the, you know, gobble me, swallow me, all that ice cream just all up on there. Okay. If it's a cold dessert, like a tiramisu, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that shit better be like chilled and refreshing. Like, don't serve me room temperature. I sound like such a bitch probably, but it's okay. I'm gonna own it, because when, like, because desserts to me are like, it is, it's the, it wraps up your experience of the evening,
right?
And so if it's not a good dessert, all I'm thinking about is, damn, like that left literally a bad taste in my mouth at the end of this entire beautiful ass meal. So either have it like piping hot for a hot dish. I do believe that all fruits can be hot. Well, actually, no, I take it back. I would never have hot bananas. Not the journey for me.
I was just thinking that. I was like, nah, I'm not going to eat no hot bananas, girl. But take that. Actually, you know what? Let me not lie, because I think there is a, I don't know if it's Vietnamese or if it's Chinese, but there is this, I remember once going down, I think it was Chinatown, when I was in Chinatown in LA, there was this place we went to and they did a fried banana, and it was the best, one of the best desserts that my big ass can remember. What I was also going to add is that not you being elitist and basically calling us all poor, talking about when I was out of the country, I had, that was you. That literally was just you when I was out of the country.
Know me.
Literally. You just called us all poor.
I just didn't want to say whims.
Yeah.
That was like, the other one I said is.
But honestly, that's what it's giving. It's basically giving y'all poor asses only stay in the States with that, really
silly American food.
You silly American food. That's what it's giving. But anyway, I say all that to say, I'm glad that when you were out of the country, you got your life and that you were able to eat what you wanted to eat. And one day when I'm chilling in France, I'll send you a postcard with a picture of me eating something really good. All right, everybody. Well, we're getting ready. Go ahead. What?
I'll say, first of all, presumptuous that I won't be in France with you. You gonna send me a postcard?
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, when we're traveling the world together on a podcasting tour, we'll speak it. We'll speak that into existence. All right, everybody. Well, we're gonna go ahead and head into our last segment for this episode. And yeah, we'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s.
She looked like $1 million.
With zero qualifications.
She had a Harvard plaque.
Tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. That this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6
million. Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so for this last segment of this episode, we're calling this Yes Ma'am or No Ma'am Pam. So you say No Ma'am Pam a lot, and I say Oh Yes Ma'am a lot. And so ultimately, I was like, let me mush those together. And in this section, we ultimately are going to be weighing in on things that we see in the world, either things that we love and that we agree with, or the stuff where we're like, let's go ahead and knock that off. So I'm gonna go ahead and start this week. My biggest thing that I wanted to say is I wanted to shout out and say, oh yes, ma'am, to anyone and everyone who is still wearing a mask. Now, I know that it is hot wherever you are in the country. A lot of places, because of climate change, weather has been very weird. There are a lot of people who are still like, oh, it's too hot to be wearing a mask and it's just uncomfortable and blah, 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 blah. I am still one of those people that have I have literally a full stack of like reusable masks, and I'm still using my KN95. So I want to say shout out to anybody who is like me that is still washing their hands, using alcohol, using hand sanitizer, masking up, keeping distance, because honestly, COVID, and this is the thing a lot of people I think are remissing, is that COVID is still not only a thing, but now there are two strains that are running like buck wild here in America that no one's really talking about. And so that's the reason why the COVID rates are up. So shout out or oh yes ma'am to all of the people who ultimately are still wearing a mask and taking COVID seriously, especially if you're immune compromised. Now, my no ma'am for this week, I don't know if you've seen the commercial. It is absolutely terrible. Victoria's Secret is trying to rebrand with this whole inclusiveness thing that they're doing. And when I tell you that it is the worst commercial I have ever seen in my life, because it is, it's giving nothing. Like, it literally is giving absolutely nothing. Like, they might as well have put these fat people in this Victoria commercial, this Victoria's Secret commercial, in literally like potato bags. It's giving absolutely, there's no, like, how are you going to have a fashion show where there's no fashions? How dreadful. Like, it literally is terrible. And I literally just was watching the video being like, this ain't it. Like, I don't know who's on their marketing team or who opted and thought it was a cute idea. But I do want to say before we leave that for companies that are thinking about, you know, size inclusion and things of that nature, that does not mean the clothes have to be ugly. I just want to make sure that folks are hearing that.
Okay.
Because just because we're fat doesn't mean that our clothes have to be like drapes. Or that doesn't mean that you have to just give us a white sheet. Okay. So just wanted to say that. What about you? What are your oh yes ma'ams and your no ma'am pams this week?
Oh my God. First of all, I will say I have not seen that commercial and now I don't want to. But to be quite honest, I mean, like, Victoria has no secrets. The secret's been out. She's fat phobic as fuck and she always will be. Like, there's nothing that they always keep trying to do something that's about inclusion. And I'm like, you, like, it's not your brand. So just stay in your lane. Like, stay in your lane. There are some companies that I'm like, you don't have to try. It's okay. I've accepted that I just will not shop there. It's okay. It's good. We good. Just leave it there, sis. So no man to them as well. I will plus one your yes ma'am to folks who wear their masks and take COVID seriously. I will say I'm one of those people. And I will also no ma'am myself because, as John knows, as of recording, I have tested positive. So I will first say, for safety, y'all, John and I are, we shifted to a virtual studio today. Just so y'all know that I'm not trying to get this bitch sick at all. But I'm a no
and
ma'am.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course, babe. Of course. You think, first of all, actually, I'm a no ma'am. The person who asked me, what, do you think you'll quarantine? As if there was another option for me to not besides quarantine. So I'm a no ma'am. That frisky bitch. I was like, yes, I'm going to be safe.
What other option do you have but to quarantine?
I was like, no, I'm just going to frolic around and get everyone sick. You know, be part of the problem. Like, that's my journey today for sure. But I will say, like, I traveled and I knew it was a possibility.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's something that you take risks knowing that things can happen. I got me a booster right before I left. So I was like, she gonna be in the best position she can be in. So a shout out to science right now. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am to Moderna for kicking ass right now. Cause right now I have no symptoms. I just know that I'm positive and it's not great for me, but it's okay. But I'll say also no ma'am to Miss Runner herself, because I just want to ask you, Rona, sis, why do you have to flex on us when we ask you to?
Just why?
Why do you have to give us a world tour? Sis, I am tired. This is my second time having COVID now. Like, I'm just not, it's no longer the journey for me. So I'm going to need you to kindly step off, kick rocks, COVID rocks, space rocks, some kind of rocks. Just...
And the thing is that it's not going to happen. I know it sounds terrible to, and it was so funny because, again, not to like draw this conversation out, but in 2020, I was like, we're never going to see outside until 2022. And we are literally still, we are exactly, if not in a worse predicament than where we were
truly
in June of 2020.
Truly.
Like,
so,
we are
no
literally in a worse place. So it's really frustrating. It's funny because, so I laughed when you were talking about getting COVID and frolicking, because in my mind, you know, my mind is always all over the place. I saw you skipping in the meadows with like a thing. What do you call it? Like a basket? And
like,
you were like handing out COVID
virus molecules
to everybody. Yeah. Well, like just giving out the little molecules of COVID to everybody.
Who needs quarantine?
Like, girl,
take some.
Tay, here's some COVID for you. COVID for you. That's all I saw in my head was you skipping down in a meadow,
oh,
giving
God.
People COVID. But that is absolutely ridiculous. Well, Well, sis, not to while we're laughing to keep from crying, I do want to say I do hope you feel better. I'm hopeful that soon when we you know, obviously we have a couple of episodes coming up where we're going to be talking with a whole bunch of people. But there are a few episodes in the canon that where it's just going to be me and you again, really kind of getting into some really, I wouldn't say intimate, but really just, you know, BFF, we're best friends, having real conversations about some really real shit. And so ultimately, I'm hoping we can do those episodes in person and we won't have funky COVIDina trying to ruin our fun. Well, with that, why don't you go ahead and tell us where folks can find you? And then ultimately, I'll go ahead and plug all of the stuff in relation to the show, and then I'll give my handles and then we'll get the hell out of here.
Perfect. Yeah, because it's hot in these streets. Y'all can find me across socials at Joho Daniels. That's JOHODANIELS. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Do you do you have a website?
Oh, from you know me. Yes. My website is www.jordandaniels.com. Do you have anything else? You also follow my photography page, Photo by Joho, as well.
Yes, yes. And ultimately, same for me. You can find me on all social media, except, well, actually, I think I'm on everything at this point. I'm not really super active on TikTok, but I do have some stuff there. You can find me by using the handle at Dr. John Paul. Website is www.drjohnpaul.com. And ultimately, if you are interested in sending us mail or you're interested in interacting with our shows, you can ultimately add the Black Fat Femme podcast, both on Twitter and on Instagram. But just keep in mind that you actually have to like shorten Black, because again, Twitter was trying to play in our faces about giving us the full name. So ultimately, it's BLK Fat Femme, FEMME podcast, both at Instagram and then also on Twitter. And then our email, if you want to send us an email and you have any thoughts about the episodes or episodes to come, we would love to hear from you. You will ultimately just email blackfatfempodcast@gmail.com. So again, and you can spell Black for the email. It's BLACK Fat Femme, FEMME podcast@gmail.com. And with that being said, thank you all for listening. Super excited for this journey that we're on. And we cannot wait for you to, join the Black Fat Femme family. Share with your friends. Tell your mama. Tell your cousins. Tell your auntie. They probably owe us money anyway.
That part.
But with that being said, with that, the food cost is high. But anyway, thank you everybody for listening. And until next week, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye, fam.
The Black Fat Femme Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes. Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chat with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast. Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. Is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.